When it comes to athletic competitions, there have always been assumed barriers that were seemed impossible. Until 1954, the 4-minute mile was perceived as unattainable, until runner Roger Bannister shattered this time limit on a blustery Oxford day. This week, we witnessed another astounding physical feat when a seemingly impossible milestone, the 2-hour marathon, was breached by Kenyan runner Sebastian Sawe and Ethiopia's Yonif Kelechka. The wise Thomas Kudus asked QUT's Mark Cornick about the significance of breaking the 2-hour marathon time barrier.
Oh, it's very interesting, isn't it? This was sort of, imagine that we were not able to achieve this, breaking a 42-kilometer distance marathon run in under 2 hours. It was thought to be impossible, but it has been demonstrated to be achievable, which is pretty awesome. One of the aspects that comes to mind within how he completed it and how it might have been done was some really good conditions on the day that would have assisted his ability to complete the marathon with essentially giving little energy demand to external environmental aspects like weather, temperature on the day. So they lined up very nicely for him to complete the race over in London, and that helped achieve that under 2-hour marathon run.
Now, it's my understanding that two men actually ran under 2 hours in that same race as well. Does that tell us we're entering a new era for marathon performance?
Yeah, it definitely suggests that it is not just a once-off. Two athletes completing this in the same event also then demonstrates that the conditions were really, really lined up near perfectly for them, but also trajectory of our strength and conditioning, our sports science training, and also different recovery research and techniques that go into an elite sport like this have been progressing over several years. And that has been trajecting to an improvement across not just marathon running, but a number of different athletics and different sports as well.
From your perspective, how rare is it to see someone accelerate like that in a marathon?
Within a marathon, it's normally having to maintain a certain self-pace across the entire event. Within a marathon, it's a 42-kilometer distance, and usually athletes will track themselves or maintain their own pace at certain points within the event. They might have a bit of a strength in the initial starting phase for the first 10 kilometers being a bit faster potentially, but then also having to make sure that they are adequately maintaining their energy and conserving their motion and their gait mechanics across the entire distance. So 2 hours itself is a long time to have a run, but 42 kilometers is a fair distance. And so maintaining that self-pacing and ability to adjust that when it's appropriate is a really, it's a feat in itself, being able to self-manage across 42 kilometers in that way. And so this is a part that would go into their, I guess, training strategy and also their racing strategy to make sure they get the most out of the athlete's ability and what they are naturally a bit better at or have been training to be that little bit higher in performance with as well. So for this marathon, he completed the second half of the marathon faster than he did the first. And I would have thought it would be the other around if you're thinking about it practically, that the initial starting phase of a marathon might be the quicker component, and then it sort of slows down and maintains that last half of the marathon in a bit more conservative pace. But for this one, it was a bit of the opposite.
There's been debate about super shoes and technology. How much do you think Saul's run came down to innovation versus pure athletic ability and preparation?
It's an interesting aspect when we're looking at any sport in general, but each sport has their own, I guess, tools within the sport. So for marathon running, the shoes and clothing will be a big part of the toolkit for the athletes. And within this marathon, and the record-breaking attempt that has been completed here, the shoes took around 3 years, I read, of research and development to go into the pair of shoes that he wore on that day. Mm. And this comes into making them super light. They were only 97 grams, and so that's a super light pair of shoes. But then also the layers and the material that was part of the production of the shoes would give a bit of extra, one, comfort for the runner, but then also potentially a little bit of extra performance ability within each stride, having to absorb a bit of their impact and then also release and remain cushioned across the entire 42 kilometers. So all of that comes into the research development within different sporting tools and equipment use. So it's really cool to kind of know a bit of that background of how something is developed in that way and gets not a huge increase for the athlete. Like these athletes will be super elite in terms of their run capacity and what they can do.
Mark Connick from QUT School of Exercise and Nutrition speaking to The Wire's Thomas Kudus.